When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Let's go to the IHOP hotline.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
And talk to the play-by-play voice of the Brigham Young Cougars. That is Greg Wrubell. Greg, how's it going this afternoon?
It's going well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So I'm looking at BYU's schedule just to look at how long one of your trips might be. And you do go to Florida. Outside of that, there's not too much crazy travel. But how much of an adjustment do you think it will be, not only for you, but for athletic personnel throughout the program to be in this new conference? A lot of things are changing. Travel is changing. What kind of adjustment will that be for BYU?
Well, really not much of one at all, because BYU spent more than a decade as an independent. And when you're an independent, you're scheduling all over the country. And BYU was playing in every possible time zone, new teams every year, a few deals that were kind of, you know, home and homes. But basically, this is every year was a different looking schedule. And so I would say BYU probably traveled more than most teams because of their independence. They could really schedule anywhere, and they played everywhere. So moving into the Big 12, not much of an adjustment that way. The welcome adjustment is having league games back on the schedule and being able to check the standings and have something to really shoot for and play for. That's something players missed for a lot of years at BYU. And yet I think BYU did as well as it could possibly do as an independent. They had to deal with ESPN. They stayed viable. They stayed visible. They stayed relevant. And the P5, now P4 call came at a really good time because they kind of earned their stripes a bit through independence. And And so things couldn't have worked out any better, you know, I don't think. And the Big 12, I think, is in a stable spot. I think BYU found a great landing position. And I think the Big 12 just continues to grow stronger and more stable with Brett Yormark at the helm, making the right moves, it would appear. And so, yeah, I think things are as positive as they could possibly appear at BYU looking forward.
Now, I hear on the radio all the time, I listen to a lot of sports talk, and everyone's talking about how the Big 12 is wide open. Anybody can win it. We don't know. There's all these teams that are going to show up and show out, and we're just going to have to wait and see. And I hear all the reasons why these teams can win the Big 12, but I want to know, what's a reason in your mind that BYU is not going to win the Big 12? What do they need to focus on this year?
Well, the Cougars have to make pretty substantial gains in a lot of meaningful categories. Offensively, it was a big dip for them last year. Their third down number was under 29%. That's not terribly viable. The rush rankings were in the hundreds. It was not a great year offensively for BYU, and under first-year coordinator Jay Hill, the defense struggled primarily due to injuries and lack of depth, and that's one of the challenges moving into a power conference is developing the depth. So when, your number one guy goes down, you don't see a huge drop-off. So on neither offense nor defense did BYU really show outstanding numbers last year. They got to 5-2. They started off 3-0. Including a win at Arkansas. They were 5-2, needing just one more win to get to a bowl game, and they ended the season on a five-game losing streak. And that's when the numbers began to spiral a bit. I think early on they were kind of buttressed by a really strong turnover margin, and as those turnover numbers came back down to earth and the injuries piled up, that's when the losing streak began. And so there are a lot of things to improve upon, and I think BYU is in position to improve. Once they go ahead and name a starting quarterback, we'll be able to fashion more of a concrete assessment of what this offense might look like. It's a battle right now between Gary Bohannon, who, of course, was a starting quarterback at Baylor, transferred to USF, got hurt at USF back in 2022. So it's been almost 2 years since he's played meaningful football. But if Gary Bohannon becomes that 2021-22 Gary, BYU's got a really solid starting quarterback. And the tools around him, I think, are as deep as BYU's been in some time. The offensive line needs to take a step up from last year, but they brought in a new offensive line coach to do that. And if Jay Hill, as a second-year defensive coordinator, has a little better health on his side of the ball, I don't think there's any reason why BYU shouldn't expect improvements on both sides of the ball. They bring in a transfer punter from Pitt named Sam Vanderhaar. They shouldn't lose a lot in special teams. And so, getting to a bowl, I think, says BYU is a pretty good football team this year. I think getting to a bowl means the improvements have been made. Again, from 5-2 last year, guys, to going to 5-7, that five-game skid took a lot of wind out of the sails. They've got to regenerate that. And this is the season where things are at least, apparently stacked up to help them do it.
Talking with the play-by-play voice of BYU, Greg Wrubell. And, yeah, let's talk about that quarterback competition. Coach Kalani Sitake really keeping it close to the vest. Will maybe name the starting quarterback in the week leading up to the opener against Southern Illinois. So is there any indication of who might have the leg up in that competition so far?
Well, both guys, and I say Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff, those are the two we're talking about. It's a two-man competition right now. BYU, interestingly, is one of the few quarterback rooms in the country where they've got four quarterbacks with FBS starts under their belt. McKay Hillstead, who's a Utah State transfer, Trayson Borgay, who's a Western Michigan transfer, then the top two guys in the race, Gary Bohannon, as mentioned, Baylor and USF, and then you've got Jake Retzlaff, who started the last four games for BYU last year. But whereas Jake has started four games, Gary Bohannon's played in 34 games at the FBS level. He's won the Sugar Bowl. He's helped beat Baylor win a conference championship in the Big 12. He's made big-time starts. He's a 1,000-yard Division I or FBS rusher. He's got the numbers. He's got the pedigree. He's 2 inches taller, 20 pounds heavier than Jake. Again, he looks the part. If that throwing shoulder is back to where it was 2 and 3 seasons ago, I think you're hoping that Gary Bohannon can grab that job, because every other number says you brought him in to be your guy. But having said that, I don't think you can get through a season with just one guy. And last year was the latest indication. I mean, Jake Retzlaff came in as the replacement for Keaton Slovis when Keaton got hurt. It's so tough for teams at this level to go through one, go through a whole season, 12, 13 games with one guy at quarterback. It's so rare. So whereas Gary or Jake is battling to be the guy, they may not be the only guy this year. And so, yeah, it's an important thing. You want to name your guy, get him done as soon as possible, and then have that momentum building into the opener. But I think you just need a bunch of quarterbacks ready to go. Last year was the latest indication. You go back 10, 15 years here at BYU, there have been only two seasons where there's been a starting quarterback for the whole season. Zach Wilson in 2020 and Taysom Hill back in 2013. Other than that, they've needed multiple guys every year. That's the way it is these days.
Now, I've been playing a lot of the new college football game. I think a lot of America is playing that as well. I created my own little player running back. I actually played my first year, my freshman year at BYU, so I'm pretty intimate with your program, all the way even here in Kansas, as more of the Big 12 people maybe aren't. But my question is, how are these student athletes handling kind of this newish fame, being in the game, the NIL deals, this getting paid all of a sudden? How's that all going down?
Well, I think basketball has made more waves with it here at BYU than football at this moment. You know, you can spread it around a lot easier amongst, you know, 13 to 15 guys than you can from, you know, 85 to 100 guys. But it is the way of the world, and it's hit football like it has every other sport across the country. And I think BYU's positioned well to take advantage of it. But they're not exactly, I don't know that they were, throwing out big numbers to get the transfers they brought in this year. I think it's not yet that way here at BYU. And it might get there, but it just feels that in basketball, where one or two or three players can make such a huge impact on your team, it's tough to do that over a broad swath of positions and players for a football team, at least at a place like BYU. It might feel different than an Alabama or a Georgia. But that said, I think the internal support is there in the fan base, in the booster population, BYU fans, and there are a lot of highly placed and well-placed in this state want the school to do well, and not just in the state, across the country. BYU has a nationwide and worldwide fan base, and there is a lot of support, fiscal and otherwise, for what, you know, Athletic Director Tom Holmo wants to get done, with support from VPs and presidents above him. I'm anxious to see how it all plays out. We're all curious to see what, you know, college locker rooms will look like and how the chemistry is maintained and how team fabrics and fibers are withheld, or rather upheld, with this new order of doing things. But I think BYU is in a good position. They'll always do it a little differently. I think Kalani's one of those guys that doesn't want to become a bidding war coach, and he doesn't want it to be all about the NIL. He wants them to commit to BYU for reasons other than that. And at BYU, which is a school, as you know, that's a church-sponsored institution, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints runs BYU, they'll always want to be operating adhering to principles that extend beyond the fiscal and the financial and the sponsorship. And so that's something to keep in mind, too. At BYU, they want to be and have been different for a long, long time.
Final couple moments here with Greg Wrubell, the voice of BYU. So the schedule, unbelievable. They close with Arizona State and Houston, which should be fairly winnable games, and who knows what other wins are on this schedule. But to start the Big 12 portion with K-State at Baylor, Arizona, Oklahoma State at UCF, at Utah, and Kansas, I mean, I don't even know if I have a question. That's just an unbelievable gauntlet, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the AP poll came out this week, and, preseason polls are what they are. We know that. But of the five ranked teams that the Big 12 puts out there, BYU's got them all on the schedule. And the top teams in the league don't have to play all of each other, whereas teams like BYU, I think Colorado's another, West Virginia may be another, where they get all these ranked teams. And so, yeah, BYU has every ranked team on its schedule. Now, the good thing for BYU is four of those five games will be at home. And Lavelle Edwards Stadium is a tough place to play. Altitude's always going to be a factor. It's a great game day environment. So that helps. The fact you've got to play four of your five ranked opponents at your place certainly does help, but it's a tough, tough slog. And even the opener on Southern Illinois, well, you go FCS team, and BYU's never lost to an FCS opponent. They're 18-0. But that said, Southern Illinois has I think the SP Plus rankings came out this week at the FCS level, and they're sixth. And they were a top 10 defensive team last year, a second round FCS playoff team. So you're not getting yourself an FCS gimme in the opener by any stretch. So you take on a really good FCS program, and then you go right on the road on a short week to SMU. And SMU's no gimme. That's now a power conference team. It returns one of its best offenses in decades. And that's your second game on a short week. And then you flip right around, stay on the road, and go to Laramie. You say, well, it's Wyoming. That's manageable. But I'm sure Texas Tech thought the same thing last year. They lost in Laramie. So, and we haven't even gotten to the opener yet in the Big 12. And then comes K-State, you know, one of those ranked teams and a potential league favorite coming to your place to open things up. And that's all in the first 4 weeks of September. And so we're going to know a lot about BYU pretty darn early. And then you already mentioned the gauntlet they've got to go on. It doesn't get a lot easier. You know, where are the soft spots? Well, in Power Conference football, there are so few of them, right? Yeah, you think maybe by the end of the year, Arizona State and Houston, but who knows what those teams will look like by that time of the season. So we're always surprised. There's just no easy spots. And that's why I think that for BYU to get six wins, for BYU to be a postseason team, well, that says BYU is a pretty good football team. I think relative to everything else in a good football league, if you can make it to the bowl, make it to a bowl out of this league, you're pretty good.
While we have you, I would be remiss being all the way here in Kansas and a very big Kansas City Chiefs fan to not ask you. I mean, obviously Andy Reid has got his BYU connection, but our newest tackle, and I'm not going to try to Jamal Charles this and say it incorrectly, but Kingsley Suamataia, you know, he's looking like he's probably going to be getting the starting job. What can we expect as Chiefs fans from him this year?
Yeah, Kingsley Suamataia, and you did a pretty good job on that, by the way.
Thank you.
Kingsley was someone that BYU's offensive coordinator, Aaron Roderick, called the most athletic tackle he'd worked with. And that's the raw ability you're dealing with. I mean, there will be nuances of the NFL game that Kingsley's going to have to adopt. But, I mean, you just have to see him. I'm sure you've seen him at practices and in preseason. He just, I mean, he fits the model and the mold of an NFL tackle. And he was drafted where he was for a lot of good reasons. And he was important for BYU. He was an underperforming offensive line as a group last year. But, you know, they still picked Kingsley out of that group and said that's a high-level draft pick for a lot of important reasons. Kingsley is a specimen. You just watch film on him at the college level. I mean, it may look a little different at the NFL level, but at the college level, he really jumped out. Like, he just really stood out for how massive he was on that left edge. And if I could flip it back to the current BYU situation, an Oklahoma State transfer in Caleb Etienne, who was the right tackle last year, moves over to BYU's left side to replace Kingsley Suamataia. And as good, I think BYU's offensive effectiveness this year will depend in large amount on how well Caleb Etienne can fill the shoes left by Kingsley at that left tackle spot. But yeah, the Chiefs got a good one, and the Chiefs are kind of, I think for a lot of BYU fans, kind of their adopted NFL team because of Andy Reid. I mean, Big Red there is a legend in blue here, and he is still so beloved, and everybody, I think, cheers for Andy. That's ever been a BYU fan, and seeing him have the success he does kind of makes us all Chiefs fans in a way, too.
Great stuff, Greg. We really appreciate it. BYU does have those games, home games for BYU against KU and K-State this year, so we may talk to you again down the line as we're previewing those contests. Thanks again.
Hey, it's my pleasure. And by the way, you know, getting to Kansas is something I hadn't done a lot of before joining the Big 12, but being able to get to Lawrence for football and basketball this past year. The win at Fog Allen was, you know, so memorable for BYU and Cougar Nation on the hardwoods this past year. And then playing in Manhattan for hoops, even though the result didn't go BYU's way, just being able to experience the hospitality I call baseball in Manhattan this past year as well. I've really, really enjoyed my trips to Kansas, and I've enjoyed everything about being in the Big 12, but especially going to Kansas and being in that state and experiencing the fan bases and new venues and great hospitality. So look forward to getting back every time, and thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. That means a lot. Thanks, Greg.
You bet. Anytime.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.